Well, thank you all for having me, even if you didn't know I was going to be here. My name is Jenny Cassell Faulkner, and I am here with Prison Fellowship Ministries. And I don't know which one this came off of, but it's going over here. Okay. I'm here with Prison Fellowship Ministries. Don't let that scare you off. Stick around. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you a little something on myself. So Corbin has known me for at least 30 years. Because he owned El Cabrito's restaurant right across from my high school, Albemarle. And I was such a bad kid, I wasn't allowed to park on school property. So he let me park in his parking lot. So every day I had some tacos for lunch and got my car. But I have been washed in the blood. My life was a mess. And Corbin has seen the before and hopefully now the after. And some of the journey in between. That's the thing about never moving away from your home. You don't get to forget who you've been and remember how precious His blood is. I remember how precious Jesus' blood has been for me. So I was arguing with God about this message because I was like, I don't see where you're going here, Lord. I'm glad He knew. He told me to come and talk to you about a day at the beach, where I haven't been yet this year, by the way. I hope you're enjoying yourself, Anthony. But what do you think of when I mention a day at the beach? I think of sand, sun, crashing waves, surfing, flying kites, fishing, naps in the summer breeze, a good book, and a cooler full of cold drinks. Recently, I was thinking about how Jesus called us to be salt and light, and how out of us would flow living water. He is the light of the world. He is Jehovah Ori Yesha. The Lord is our light and our salvation. I thought of how He, like salt water, came to heal all of our woundedness. That He throws our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. How His faithfulness endures forever. As vast as the ocean is His loving kindness. His love is as constant as the rhythm of the waves on the shore. And His voice is like the sound of many waters, isn't it? I think that's why we hear from Him so easily by the ocean. And Holy Spirit comes as a mighty rushing wind, breathing life, right? And I thought about it, spending time with a Christian should be like a day at the beach. Are you like a day at the beach, like a refreshing ocean breeze or an opinionated windbag? By the way, I don't work here, so I get to say whatever. I love it. All right. Do you help heal people's wounds? Are you the other kind of salty? Are you a ray of sunshine or a rainy day? Are you living in such a way that your life is a fragrant offering? Or does your attitude smell like low tide? Are you constant and steady? Do you bring peace and clarity and rest to those around you? Or do you stir up strife? Do you get people wound up over what is happening in the news or in the world? Or do you bring rest to their tired souls? I want to be salt, light, living water, and a fresh breeze, bringing life to all who encounter me. I have been praying for a couple of years now that I would live in such a way that I could carry the manifest presence of God on my person so tangibly that when people come in proximity to me, they would encounter God. They may forget who I am in my name, but they would encounter in my physical presence and in my words or writings or art or dance the actual manifest presence of God. That their lives would be marked by an encounter with Holy Spirit. We can't be a breath of fresh air if we hold rotten emotions or stinking thinking at the same time. This morning, do you smell like Jesus? 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16 says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unless Holy Spirit is marking our lives, we are not equal to such a task. But he promises he will fully possess your person to the point you surrender. He comes into every believer, but you don't need more of Holy Spirit. He needs more of you. As I prayed about a day at the beach, I thought about how God gave the prophet Jonah a day on the beach too. This bitter man who was called to be a prophet did not want those hated and violent people in Nineveh to experience the mercy of God. It would be like the modern day Christian missionaries who go into Islamic countries and share the gospel. Are there certain people that you don't want to get saved? Are there certain sins you think should never be forgiven? You know Jesus. You know God, Jesus. He says the only unforgivable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That is the only one unforgivable. When God called Jonah to go and warn Nineveh of their coming destruction, he went in the opposite direction. Do you want to know why? Because they were the Taliban of the day. They were the ones who had murdered his people. They had a violent relationship. So he went the other way. But trust me, God is not mocked. He arranged Jonah a personal little three-day cruise inside the belly of a fish, right? And that big old fish just vomited him right on the shore of Nineveh. He said, here's your day at the beach. You could have went the nice way, but I'm going to get you there one way or the other. He who sits in the heavens laughs, Psalm 2:4 says. Is there anyone that you think should not have a chance to hear the gospel? Is there anyone you feel justified in hating or wishing harm to come on them? You know that crime, that sin. You know we've all said it. There's a special place in hell for that one. I also thought when praying about what God was saying to me about the day at the beach. Our grandfather's generation stormed the beaches of Normandy, right? They were kids. Some of them lied to say they were old enough, or their parents signed and they were 16 and 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds. They suited up and they showed up and they went to fight evil with their very lives. Paul tells us in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God. We are in a battle. But unlike our grandfathers, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood enemies. We are fighting with evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So our armor is made up of truth, salvation, righteousness, peace. Hear me again. Peace, faith, and the word of God. We're called to storm the beaches with good news, with the gospel of peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We are not supposed to advance the kingdom like the crusaders of old by buying more bullets. Yes, I stepped on some toes. Sorry, y'all didn't wear steel toe. Because I know y'all are stocking up. I see the UPS truck. He comes to my house too. My husband's stocking up too. I know. I know what's going on. We advance God's kingdom by winning souls to Jesus. Not shooting them down. The only way to spread righteousness, peace, and joy is for us as individuals to be living, breathing encounters with God. That we would be full of righteousness, peace, and joy. Did you know in His presence is the fullness of joy? He who knew no sin became our sin so we could become his righteousness. He is the Prince of Peace. His kingdom is known by peace. Did you all know we're in a great revival right now? I have been traveling some with Jesse Green with Saturate. And we baptized hundreds a night in Kentucky in muddy water. We cast out demons. They got in the water sick and came out healed. Deaf ears were opened. People were physically healed. Devils came out. And the first night, you're sitting there and you're ministering to someone and they're tormented and the devils come out and they get baptized. And the next night, they're praying for the folks who need salvation. I'm telling you, revival is here. Are you in it? Have you been looking for it? Are you harvesting harvesters? Taking a side on social media isn't advancing the kingdom. We need to be loving people into salvation. Or are we like the priest and the Levite who just pass on the other side of the road so we're not bothered by the man and his wounds laying in the ditch? We leave him there for some other good Samaritan to stop and deal with. Now I'm going to confess something, and my daddy's here, so he's going to smack me in a minute. No, he's not like that. He's sweet. But a few months ago, well, back in April, I was doing some training down at the prison, and I didn't want to be late for it. They told us the day before, and I'm going to tell you something. In case you didn't know, when a corrections officer has already taken you through all the self-defense stuff, and you have felt his arms, and he tells you not to be late the next day, you ain't late. So anyway, I was on the way to the prison, not being late. And there was a man standing at the crossroads of 600 and 616, hitching. And you don't normally see somebody hitching like that. It caught me off guard. And he's about my age. You could tell he was homeless and he smelled homeless when he got in. But I picked him up because he was going to Zion's. That's why my daddy's going to smack me. But I picked him up and we talked. His name is David. And I got him as far as to the prison, but I didn't want to be late. And he mentioned something about breakfast. But you know what I did? I let him out at the prison. And I went on inside so I wouldn't be late. And that was April and this is August. And I can't tell you how many tears I've cried in prayer, hoping somebody did buy that man breakfast. Because I thought I had done enough. I had done more than others would have done. But that lost child that Jesus is out looking for, that missing one, his empty stomach didn't mean enough to me to be late. I've prayed for David a lot since then. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What we did today was praise him. You want to worship him? Lay down your life for one of his missing who matter most. We got to have some skin in the game, y'all. Jesus, our example, had skin in the game. Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And here, Gentiles, to the people he was speaking to, meant the people who don't keep the law. Those lawbreakers, that's what he was saying. It's to them he chose to make known, right? God sent these Jewish men into the unclean, lawless people of the world for his own glory. And the riches of his glory are hiding in you and me. Holy Spirit was hiding in Jesus, and maybe that's why his flesh needed to be ripped open, so the Holy Spirit could be poured out on us. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah, the bottom of Isaiah 52, all the way through Isaiah 53. And then we're going to talk a little more and I'll be done. So we'll start at Isaiah 52:13. I'm going to go all the way through 53. The suffering and glory of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up. and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and sprinkle there leans back to the Old Testament where they would sprinkle the mercy seat with the blood. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were told, for what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Our beautiful Jesus. I'm going to share with you a vision I had recently when worshiping at the Charlottesville House of Prayer. I'm a demonstrative worshiper. I raise my hands, I dance. If it says bow, I bow. Like, I just do what the song says. It's just who I am. There's not a right or wrong. God just made me this way. I have purple hair, and I like to dance, and I'm just that way. But, and I also see. So when I pray, or when I worship, a lot of times God paints me a picture. Some of you hear the still small voice. Some of you feel a certain way. Some of you just know the right way to go after you pray. I see. God shows me a picture. I think it's because he knows I need you to paint me a picture, Lord, make it simple. Anyway, so one night I was worshiping at the Charlottesville House of Prayer, and we were singing a song about we lift him up. And so I'm just lifting my hands in worship. And as soon as I closed my eyes, my physical eyes, my spiritual eyes opened. And I saw in the lifting of my hands, I was pushing the cross into place with Jesus on it. And his blood was running down my hands and my arms. So I recoiled because I didn't want to participate in that. And from the cross, beaten and weary with a raspy voice, with blood on his lips, he said, "Oh, yes, lift me up, and I will draw all men unto me." So I re-entered, and I pressed the cross into place. And when it settled with a thud, it jarred him and it jarred me. And I wept and I wept. And I realized his blood is on my hands. His blood is on my hands. Do you know what it means to lift holy hands? It means to acknowledge you have the blood of Jesus Christ on our hands. My sin crucified our Savior. My sin is what put him there. And there is level ground at the foot of the cross, right? We all fall short. We have all sinned. We all are the reason he paid that price. And so when he tells you to come partake and remember him, that's why he says, you eat my flesh and you drink my blood. You come up and get real personal with it. You get face to face with what I did for you. And if it didn't cost enough for you to go tell somebody else, what else could he have possibly done? What else could he have possibly done to set us on fire for the kingdom of God? He told me, because I'm a preacher, he told me one day, Jenny, if the fire shut up in your bones is not love, then it is not me. What fire is shut up in our bones this morning? Is it the fire of hell? Do we look around and go, this world's going to hell and good for it? Or do we look around and go, oh, Jesus, I want you to come, but give me a few more days because I got to tell some more people about you. I need to get some more people out of that burning building because I don't want to let anybody die not knowing you. Your blood was too costly. He is worthy of the worship that is our lives laid down for him. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Praise God. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are given a ministry of reconciliation. Do you know what that looks like to me? God showed me one day. He showed me a bunch of people meeting and being handed out pieces of paper like a church bulletin. And then people were talking. And then suddenly they were dispersing. And I asked God, what's on that piece of paper? And it was a missing children picture. And he was sending groups out like going, would you go find that one? Would you go find that one? This one's lost. Would you go find them? What would we do if one of these precious little ones sitting around here were lost today? And we didn't know if they didn't have breakfast like David on the side of the road that morning. What if they were scared and they were lonely and they were hurt or they were tormented by someone evil like I was by demons? What would you do if Gary said, hey, this little one is missing? Wouldn't we come? Wouldn't we call in from work? Wouldn't we just spend the day and we would look under everything? And we wouldn't care so much whether there were spiders in the bushes and snakes because we'd be desperate to find that missing one. Everyone who is lost, Jesus is standing with a picture saying, my child is missing. They're lost, they're hurting, and they don't know how to get back to me. Would you go find them? I invite you this morning to dream with God, to ask his heart to mark your heart. Would you dream about going inside with me? Go and minister to ladies whose backstory will make you throw up. I know. Because I've sat with them and I've listened to it and gagged and cried while they tell me how they were sold repeatedly to their mama's dealer for a bag of dope. How they were beaten because they couldn't successfully steal the pork chops from Reed's supermarket when the grandmother told them to. We have no idea what it is to be raised that way, most of us. And so we judge the news story based on parents who took you back to Buck Island store when you stole Mr. Woodson's piece of candy to tell him you stole his piece of candy. That's how I was raised. So I want to judge the world based on, well, didn't you have parents that took you back to the store? No. I would love to talk to you after this to pray with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you love us so much. I can't fathom giving up one of my children for anyone here, but you did. And Lord, you call us in this time to suit up and show up, to put on the armor of God and to advance your kingdom, to go love the walls down, to go love the prison gates down. Everyone here has a mission that you've got them on, but I pray, Lord, that a few, you are just tug on their heart to dream with you about advancing your kingdom into prison. If anyone here, Lord, does not know the freedom of your saving grace, that they do not know, Lord, how you paid the price for their sin, and they are absolutely able to walk up here today and feel what it feels like to be washed completely clean, to be forgiven of every ugly thing they've ever thought or done, every shame of the past. Jesus, I pray they would come up now and just be washed in the blood. In Jesus' name.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.